DJ, thank you so much for all of your help tonight. We're really grateful. And first and foremost, I want to say welcome and thank you all, over 600 strong at this point, for joining our telephone town hall focused on California's coronavirus response with a special focus on Lake and Mendocino counties. The most important part of tonight's town hall is going to be hearing from each and every one of you. We're going to spend as much time possible answering your questions and your comments in real time. If you have questions, comments, please email us now, senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. We have over 200 questions that have now been submitted. We're going to get to as many as possible this evening. Again, my name is Mike McGuire, and I'm honored to work with you as state senator, proudly representing Mendocino and Lake County. And I have to tell you, we have an excellent panel joining us tonight with the medical professionals. The medical professionals who are on the front lines combating this virus. And before we get into the town hall, I'd like to be able to provide some brief opening remarks. And I think you may agree that this has been a rough 3 weeks for all of us in Lake and Mendocino counties. And for many of us, it has felt like 3 months. Cabin fever has started to set in, and so many of our neighbors are hurting economically. And we know some of the toughest days are still ahead, with the anticipated peak of this virus not expected to hit at a minimum of 4 weeks from now. But let's face it, for Mendocino and Lake counties, this isn't our first rodeo. Over the last 5 years, we've all gone through hell and back together, during fire after fire. And always, we come out stronger. And I believe that we're going to do the same with this damn virus. Our communities pull together like nowhere else when times are tough. We get things done no matter how hard times are. And this is no different. We're working overtime to make sure that Mendocino and Lake counties have the resources needed to be able to respond to this virus. And I'm proud of the work that we have all done together over the last 5 years. And please know we're here for you now and in the months and years to come. Before we get into it tonight, I finally want to recognize the local law enforcement, the nurses and doctors, and paramedics and firefighters who are doing the hard work on our behalf each and every day. I'd like to go over the flow for this evening and introduce our speakers. First and foremost, I'm going to provide a brief update on the coronavirus response from the state of California. We're thrilled to have Dr. Brewer back with us. He's from UCLA School of Medicine. He's going to give us an overview of the virus, briefly describe what it is, of course, talk about the latest numbers that we're seeing from across California. He'll talk about the masks and should we be wearing them, should we not. And, of course, he's going to break down the numbers of the virus and who's contracting it. But then we're going to turn it over to Dr. Duhan. Dr. Duhan is the public health officer from Mendocino County. She's going to give us an update on the efforts to fight the coronavirus in Mendocino County. She's going to provide us with an update on when she believes we'll see the peak of the virus and what does opening up actually look like. And she's going to give us a 30-day outlook with this issue of the virus. Then we're going to hear from Dr. Pace. Dr. Pace is the public health officer from Lake County. Dr. Pace is going to also focus on the local efforts to fight the coronavirus when he believes that we're going to see the peak in Lake County. What will opening up our communities actually look like? And Dr. Pace will also focus on a 30-day outlook as well. I would now like to transition first and foremost, though, to the latest on the coronavirus response throughout California. And I'd like to first focus on patient numbers in hospitals, not just in Lake and Mendocino counties, but hospitals in between the Golden Gate Bridge and the Oregon border. And on a daily basis, we're talking directly with hospital leaders across our region, ensuring that their needs are being met. And for the most part, here's the good news. For the most part, patient census numbers are at or below average with most of our regional hospitals. This is good news, and that includes Lake and Mendocino counties. And, of course, we're going to be in constant contact working to stay ahead of the challenges and making sure that the hospitals in Mendocino and Lake counties have the protective gear and medical equipment necessary to combat this virus. I'd like to turn to expanding hospital bed capacity. The state and counties are moving quickly together. It's been we've been working together closer than ever before to make sure we have the hospital beds and the staff and the equipment necessary to face what is expected to be the peak of the crisis in the coming several weeks. We're working directly with the hard work and public health officers and county health departments to expand bed capacity. And this is the kind of planning and preparation we hope we never have to use, but here's our strategy, and we believe it's prudent. We need to hope for the best, but plan for the worst, and that's what we'll focus in on and how we're working together. On the issue of testing and virus numbers from across the state, well, California is increasing access to testing. A homegrown blood-drawn test has been developed by Stanford University that's going to be utilized in addition to the CDC's saliva-based test that's going to help us be able to expand testing across the state. Hospitalizations and ICU utilization, well, it continues to increase across California. Not so much in our neck of the woods. We're still seeing a relatively flat usage when it comes to hospitalizations and ICU rooms. And here's the good news across the state. We're seeing a slower rate when it comes to the increase in hospitalizations and ICU utilization. Hard work, and of course, those stay-at-home orders that have been so beneficial. Finally, talking about food banks, the state is deploying National Guard members and state volunteers to help meet the growing demand of our neighbors who are hungry in these challenging times and to meet the demand of local food banks. Guard members and volunteers are going to be integral in expanding capacity in food supply chains, no matter if it's in Lake, Mendocino, Humboldt, or Trinity counties. The state has invested $20 million to be able to expand food purchasing for food banks, and I promise you, more will be on the way. We'll get into more of what the state of California is doing, especially when it comes to our economy, in just a bit. But we now would like to turn it over to Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer is from UCLA Medicine. He is focused on infectious diseases. He is also still practicing medicine. He's come off the hospital floor tonight to be with us. Dr. Brewer is going to be giving us an overview of the coronavirus here in California. The floor is yours, Dr. Brewer. You have 5 minutes, and we welcome you to the town hall.
Thank you very much, Senator. I'm delighted to be back and to be able to participate. And first, let me offer my thanks to everyone listening out there. You are all frontline workers against COVID-19. So we are all in this together, and by your staying at home and by your washing your hands and doing the other things that we're talking about, you are active participants in keeping every one of us safe. And so I just want to thank you very much for your doing that. So let's briefly turn to coronavirus, which we've discussed before. And the first thing I want to say is, remember, this is a new virus, and so we've never seen it before December, and we're going to continue to learn things about this virus as we go along, and that recommendations may change as we go along because of that. So when this first started, we were comparing it to influenza and other coronaviruses because we didn't know much about it. But as we learn more about this specific virus, we will realize that some things like wearing masks may not apply now as we learn more. So let me briefly take you through where we are. So in California, we have about 17,000 cases, according to the Department of Public Health, 442 deaths. So that's a mortality rate of about 2.6%. About 7% of our cases are in the intensive care unit right now. And about 16% of our cases have to be hospitalized. So consistent with what we've seen in other parts of the world, the majority of people will have mild to moderate disease that will not require hospitalization. So what we're seeing in California is very similar to what's happening elsewhere. Likewise, the people that tend to end up in the hospital, particularly those that die, tend to be older, above the age of 65, and have other medical problems such as heart and lung disease or diabetes. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there have only been 2 deaths in the entire country in individuals under the age of 20. So in terms of mortality, this is still tending to hit older individuals. In California, the distribution of our cases is very similar by race and ethnicity to the distribution of our population. So we have not seen the skewing that some other states have seen where African Americans are more heavily affected. So right now, based on about 40% of our cases, African Americans account for 6% of our cases in California and 3% of our deaths. And overall, they make up about 6% of the state's population. Latinos have accounted for about 30% of the cases and 29% of deaths. And overall, they account for about 39% of the population. And that's true across the board for non-Hispanic whites, Asians, American Indians, and First Natives people, and Pacific Islanders. So we're not seeing the racial ethnic skewing that other states have seen. Let me briefly turn to the issue of masks. So you've probably seen that the CDC is now recommending that people wear cloth coverings when they go out. The reason for that is we're learning that people who are asymptomatic, have no symptoms, feel totally fine, but are infected with the virus, are capable of spreading the virus. And so by wearing a cloth covering when you go out, if you have the virus and you don't know it, when you cough or sneeze or talk, those respiratory droplets, which we've talked about, which transmit the virus, get stuck in that cloth, and they're unlikely to spread to other people or less likely to spread to other people. So that's why we've switched to now recommending that people wear these cloth masks, because we still have severe shortages, at least in Southern California, for personal protective equipment. We are asking that people use home develop masks rather than buying surgical masks or N95 masks. Finally, I just wanted to turn to the stay at home, because I realize how incredibly challenging and difficult that is for all of us. In New York State, they've had about 150,000 cases and over 6,000 deaths, so more than 10 times the number of cases and deaths that we've had here in California, even though we have a larger population. And I think part of that has been the very aggressive and appropriate work of the public health officers, the state officials, the governors, the local mayors and town councils that have put these stay-in-home orders in place. I think we are seeing the effects that it's lowering the curve in California, and it's helping to keep all of us safe. So I'll stop there, Senator, and delighted to answer any questions.
Dr. Brewer, thank you so much. And we'll be getting the questions here in just a bit. We appreciate your overview and your straightforward advice. It helps so much. We're going to now be turning it over to Dr. Duhan. Dr. Duhan is the public health officer for the County of Mendocino. She's going to be giving us a full briefing on the issues of coronavirus in Mendocino County. Dr. Duhan, you have 5 minutes. I'll give you a 30-second prompt. Ma'am, the floor is yours, and we want to say thank you for all your fantastic work over these past many months.
Thank you, Senator. So as a public health officer, you know, I'm also a family physician like my colleague, Dr. Pace, from Lake County. But as a health officer, our job is to take care of the population of our county. And when we are dealing with a pandemic like this one with COVID-19, we don't have a vaccine yet, and we don't have a treatment yet, our public health tools are tools that help mitigate the spread of the disease, like sheltering in place, like facial coverings, and like social distancing protocols at essential businesses. And in Mendocino County, we put our sheltering in place orders in place before we had our first case. So we have closely followed what the Bay Area is doing, because we are part of the fabric and the healthcare ecosystem of the Bay Area. And I think one of our strengths is that our community has followed our sheltering in place orders very cooperatively. And I thank our community in Mendocino County. So we had our sheltering in place orders in place before we had our first case. We also put in a facial coverings guidance on Friday, as well as an essential business social distancing protocol on Friday. That was a guidance. And these protections, these public health protections, have helped keep our county safe. We have had 4 cases at this time. Of the 4 cases that we've had, 3 have recovered, and 1 will be released from isolation in the next several days. So when you have a case, the COVID-19 case, they must stay in isolation for a certain period of time until they recover. And of our 4, 3 have completely recovered, and 1 is very close. None of these individuals needed to be hospitalized, all did very well at home, all followed all of the instructions that we gave and did not spread the disease. So we do not see evidence of community spread in Mendocino County. However, what we have to the south, with the big 7 counties to the south, is about 4,000 cases spread out of those over those big 7 counties and 110 deaths, keeping with that 2.6% death rate that was just mentioned. So we know there's a threat right to the south of us of this pandemic really crashing down on our vulnerable rural community in a way that would be devastating. So another great strength that we have in our county is the surge capacity that's built up. Our hospitals and clinics have surge tents in front of their facilities. Ventilators have been purchased and are ready to go. We've also done a great job with testing in our county. We have done 362 tests, which doesn't sound like a huge number, but given the shortages of tests that we have across the nation, it's very significant. These tests were done primarily for people that were sick, that were in the hospital or clinics. Public health helped facilitate those tests. And out of that 362, there were only 4 positive. We also did a surveillance testing in the last week for people experiencing homelessness. We tested 39 individuals, and all were negative. Very happy to say that. So I believe that we will be seeing the surge hitting us around the end of April, beginning of May, and we will be prepared for that surge. And then when we are released from our sheltering in place, it has a lot to do with the testing capacity that we're able to have as a resource in our community, as well as the capacity for personal protective equipment and how well we do with our surge. But we are well positioned at this time, in large part because of our great collaboration with our clinics, our hospitals, and the people in our community. So that would be it for my summary introduction. Thank you.
Dr. Duran, thank you so much. Dr. Duran, again, is the Mendocino County Public Health Officer. Appreciate it. We're now going to turn it over to the Public Health Officer for the County of Lake. His name is Dr. Gary Pace. He's going to be giving us a full briefing on the coronavirus in Lake County. Doctor, you have 5 minutes. I'll give you a 30-second prompt. I'll then turn it over to our lightning round for questions and comments after Dr. Pace. The floor is yours, Doctor. Thank you for joining us and for your hard work.
Thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Well, I think we're in a similar situation as Mendocino County. We've gotten to benefit from watching the infection escalate in the Bay Area and sort of learn from what they're doing down there, because we're kind of in a unique position up here. We're right on the border. There's the urban area that's starting to really show some increasing infection rates, but it's very different from the rural areas up north. And being right at the border, we have to pay attention and prepare, but we also, by using some of the public health techniques that Dr. Duhan mentioned, we can really try to slow the transmission and so that we don't overwhelm our healthcare facilities, which are, you know, they're small, and it would be pretty easy to overwhelm them if things really took off the way they have in other areas. So at this point, we have 3 cases. They've all been identified in the last few days. As far as we can tell, the transmission was from outside of the county, and it doesn't appear at this point. We haven't been able to detect any community transmission. All the folks are doing well. They're isolating at home. They've all been very cooperative with our public health approach, where we go out and try to talk to them about all the people they've had contact with and have them stay at home. And really, a big part of the approach, once we start getting cases, is to separate the sick people from the well people and try to determine anybody that they've had contact with and determine whether they might have the coronavirus as well, and then try to separate them out. both all the people that we have identified now have been very good about wearing masks in the last couple of weeks, and also staying at home in a shelter-in-place kind of technique that we've been working with. And so it seems like there's not a whole lot of risk that they had transmitted this around the community, which is really we're very appreciative that they were following the rules, and I want to encourage everybody else to do the same thing, because probably this is not going to spread from these cases, or if it does, it's going to be very minimal because they were so compliant with the rules. So we've been, you know, the strategy that we've been working with is working on slowing down the entry and the transmission of the virus in the community in the ways I mentioned. We've been doing testing. We've been struggling to get enough sampling supplies. We've done maybe 230 tests, and those are mainly through the two hospital chains, but there's been really limited supplies of the swabs and the culture tubes, and so the criteria for testing has been fairly narrow in terms of people needing to be pretty sick and in the hospital. In the last week, we started to do some what we're calling drive-through testing. If one of the providers in the community orders some testing, they can contact us, and we'll try to connect with the patient and get some testing done. And that's how we've actually picked up some of these cases this week. So we're really interested in trying to pick up the people that aren't so sick and get them into care and get them kind of isolated so that it doesn't spread in the community. We've been working a lot with the healthcare facilities. The clinics are all doing a great job in preparing. The hospitals both have tents up as well and here, and they've been doing a lot of work in terms of how to expand beds, how to expand ICU beds, how to expand the number of ventilators and everything as needed. And then also there's a real working relationship with the state, who's putting in some facilities in the larger region, so that if there is a lot of overflow need, that we can try to connect with them. We've been doing some focus on the vulnerable populations, especially the homeless folks and the seniors. Pastor Shannon's working a lot on setting up some facilities to help the homeless folks stay in housing, and so they're a lot less likely. It's hard to shelter at home when you're out in a camp, out in the woods, and so the warming center now is open for 24 hours, and that's going to be open till the end of April, and there's been a fair amount of work in trying to get some other possibilities as well. I think, you know, the
30 seconds, Doctor, 30 seconds.
Okay, great. So the end point, I think, is that I think the peak is probably going to be, starting, like Dr. Jim was saying, beginning of May, but it'll probably be slow and going over the couple months. I'm hoping that the high peak isn't going to be as bad as what we were originally worried about because of the shelter-in-place orders, and we're starting to make some plans to how to roll back some of these shelter-in-place orders once we pass the peak. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you so much, both doctors. We're really grateful, along with Dr. Brewer. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are now going to be moving into our lightning round for questions and comments. The way it works is this. You get in contact with us, senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov, and we're going to get your question live on the town hall, senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. Each of our doctors are prepared to be able to provide brief answers. We've asked our doctors be able to keep their answers to 30 to 60 seconds so that we get to as many questions and comments that you have. We are now over 350 questions, and we have now 812 folks from Lake and Mendocino County on the line, and we welcome you. Let's start with our first question. The first question is going to be for Dr. Pace. Dr. Pace, this comes from Pamela in Clear Lake Oaks. Pamela says Sheriff Martin has advised that Lake County has 50 hospital beds and 11 ventilators. What action has been taken to secure more hospital beds and ventilators, staffing, and PPE, protective equipment, for Lake County residents? Dr. Pace?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for that question. And, I want to say that the health department, the Board of Supervisors, the county administration, and the hospitals are all working together a lot on how to prepare. This is what we call surge planning. So both the hospitals have plans to be able to expand if needed. they've had to get special waivers from the state, and basically they can almost double the amount of hospital beds that are available, and about they can go up to about double the normal ventilator capacity. And but staffing is an issue. But then also we're working with the state, like I mentioned, on how to do some overflow out there, and we're also working on transport so that if we need to work with some of the regional partners as well. So there's been a lot of effort going into this, and basically there's some pretty good plans in place for it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pace. We're now going to go to Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer, this is coming in from Kim in Fort Bragg on the Mendocino Coast. She has been reading about reusable grocery bags and the potential for reusable grocery bags carrying the coronavirus. Dr. Brewer, can you please address that?
So essentially all of the supermarkets in Los Angeles have now banned reusable bags. They're no good data to suggest that they cause transmission of the virus from one person to another, but the assumption is if somebody's sick and they're coughing or sneezing on their bag and then somebody else handled the bag, it could get on their hands and they could become infected if they touch your mouth or nose. The short answer is, for now, we probably won't be using reusable bags, but if you wash your hands after handling things, you'll go a long way to protecting yourself from any infections.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. This next question is coming in from Mark from Clear Lake. Dr. Pace and or Carol Hutchinson, who is the county administrator, who is also on the line from Lake County, here's Mark's question. Couldn't Clear Lake be open for boat fishing for folks who live in the county with a boat, that either live on the lake with a boat or have a private boat ramp? Dr. Pace.
Well, right. That's a good question. You know, we were trying to, when we first started this, we tried to close the lake to outside folks coming in and just to have it open for the locals, because certainly if somebody gets on a boat at their own house and goes out and comes back and doesn't have any contact with anybody, that doesn't, there's not a lot of risk there. The problem was is that the law enforcement can't really tell who's who out there and what's going on. And a big concern was the folks coming up from the Bay Area to the lake. There's a lot of infection down there, and coming up because they wanted to get outside and get out in the lake was a big concern about transmission up here. So we pretty much had to just shut the whole thing down for now in terms of to really slow down the travel and the mobility. We had to do the same thing with the hotels. I think once we get to the end point and we can start backing off some of the restrictions, one of the first ones that we'll be able to try to do is this: is the local folks being able to go out. We're going to have to figure out how to enforce that, but, you know, it was one of these things where we just needed to move quickly and try to just slow everything down to prevent the infection from getting up here.
Thank you, Dr. Pace. We're now going to be going over to Dr. Doohan. Dr. Doohan, this question is coming in from Beth in Ukiah. Dr. Doohan, there have been cases in Ukiah for people presenting coronavirus symptoms, and they've been told to isolate, but they would not be tested unless hospitalized. How are we, are you, having to account if testing is not occurring unless you're a first responder or being hospitalized? That's coming from Beth in Ukiah.
Yeah, well, thank you for that question. I think there is a misperception that has been shared in our county about who can and cannot get tested. I will say that our fantastic community clinics who are on the front line of this pandemic response have been testing people in their clinics. Many of them use a drive-by type of approach where the person will call up, speak to their healthcare provider, tell them that they're having symptoms of a flu-like illness, then they'll be asked to come out front, and the healthcare provider from clinic will collect the sample swabs in that person's car, and the provider is protected by personal protective equipment. So there are many examples of individuals getting tested in their primary care clinic. So it is actually not true that only people are hospitalized or being tested, but I will say that if a person is like the majority of people that's doing well, can stay home, can rest, is not getting significantly sick, and is able to isolate at home, that's the safest thing to do versus going into clinic and potentially exposing our healthcare workers. So, yeah.
No, I appreciate that, Dr. Doohan, and not at all trying to cut you off. We are seeing so many questions coming in, and we are so appreciative of the doctor answering these rapid-fire questions. Dr. Doohan, we're going to stay with you. Erica from the Mendocino Coast has emailed in. She's curious if there are plans to offer testing for the coronavirus on the coast.
Yes, and this is a great follow-up to the question before, which is that there is testing being offered at the coast at the great primary care clinics there and all along the coast. So, for example, just to call out one of them, MCC in Fort Bragg, they are doing testing. So what you need to do if you are having symptoms is to call up your healthcare provider on the coast. But we also have done surveillance testing. That's for people who are not sick. And there will be some of that surveillance testing done on the coast as well by public health in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Doohan. We're going to stick with you, and then we're going to open this up to Dr. Pace as well. We're getting a lot of questions tonight and over the last few days about when we see the peak of the virus, which you all just talked about, at least another 4 weeks, I'm paraphrasing here, and when do you think the shelter in place will be lifted and what that looks like. We're going to ask you to try to keep your answers as succinct as possible. We'll start with Dr. Doohan from Mendocino County. She's the public health officer. Then we're going to go to Dr. Pace, the public health officer in Lake County. So one more time, when do you think the peak will happen, and what does it look like when it comes to opening our communities back up? Dr. Doohan, the floor is yours, then Dr. Pace.
Let me try and answer that quickly. We are trying to slow the spread. That's what we're doing now, and that's what we're doing with sheltering in place. We believe that sometime in the beginning of May, we'll be able to reassess the situation by seeing how heavily our healthcare systems are impacted. When we do release the sheltering in place, which I believe will be sometime in May, I believe it probably will be later in May, but it's going to have to be gradual. It doesn't just release all at once, and we have to do other things to protect our population at the same time, like strengthening our social distancing, putting on facial coverings, you know, when we're outside, which are being is a guidance now, but it could be an order, and gradually allowing people to come back into their normal activities while we increase testing. Increasing testing is key to releasing the sheltering in place and getting back to normal life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Doohan. Dr. Pace, when do you think you're going to see peak, and what does it look like opening up the communities of Lake County?
Well, I have a little different take on when the peak will occur. I think it's probably going to be later, but I also think we have the advantage of watching what happens in the Bay Area, and when that peaks and starts coming down, if we're not seeing a continued rise in our area, then we can follow their lead, because we may be able to deflect it, you know, the bad part of it. It may just pass us by because we're a little more rural. So it remains to be seen, but I suspect it'll probably be in the middle of the summer, but we are watching the steps to see what it looks like in the Bay Area and how the cases go in our area. So I could be wrong, and we could see it a lot sooner. I think the main thing about what it's going to look like when we start moving away from it is going to be sort of a little bit at a time. We'll kind of loosen things up, and then we'll see what the response is. And if the number of cases doesn't go up, then we can loosen a little bit more and a little bit more. And I agree completely that the testing availability and also the kind of willingness of the community to continue to stick by the social distancing and wearing the mask and stuff will really help.
Dr. Pace, Dr. Doohan, I'm going to ask for a quick, less than 20-second question answer to this question. So I think it would be fair to say, Dr. Pace in Lake County, can't, because of public health, simply reopen all the doors all at once and go back to what was normal, correct?
Correct.
All right.
That's absolutely right. If we did that, then we would probably see a huge surge in the cases, and it would be we would squander all that we have accomplished here by the last month of people really struggling with this. So, yeah, that would be a mistake.
All right. Next, that's a question now to you, Dr. Doohan, from Mendocino County. Would that be correct? You can't open the doors all at once and go back to what was normal all at once?
That's correct. It's not a light switch that you just turn back on. However, when we get a vaccine and when we get treatment, we'll be able to turn that light switch back on a lot faster. We're buying ourselves time right now. So I agree with Dr. Pace.
Thank you so much, Dr. Doohan. Dr. Pace, I appreciate your willingness to be able to keep those answers short, just trying to get as many questions, and very, very grateful to our public health officers. These next two questions will be going to Dr. Brewer, Dr. Brewer from UCLA Medicine. Dr. Brewer, Dawn is asking, if she is walking with friends 6 feet apart, does she have to wear a mask? The second question that's coming in is from Kim. Can we get the virus from drinking tap water? So let's take those two questions, Dr. Brewer.
Sure. So I'll start with the second question first. No, Kim, you cannot get the virus from drinking tap water, and there's no evidence to suggest that this virus is transmitted by food. So wash your fruits and vegetables when you bring them home, but no evidence it's transmitted by food, and certainly not by tap water. Walking with friends, so masks and facial coverings do not replace social distancing. That's very important. We need to keep that physical distancing in. But where the facial coverings help is, you know, I'm walking my dog and somebody else is coming and we're, like, moving to avoid each other and we go near someone else. And so you want to do both, wear the facial covering but also keep the physical distancing.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. Very helpful. Let's keep with the issue of masks. We're going to ask both public health directors, starting with Dr. Doohan, because this question is coming in from James, who went to the Costco at Ukiah today. Then we're going to go Dr. Pace in Lake County. Dr. Doohan, James was in Costco earlier today, and he says at least 50% of the shoppers and the employees working there did not have their face covered. He says it seems reckless considering the current situation. Will you consider wearing a mask mandatory? That's coming in from James. Dr. Doohan, 30 seconds, please.
Yes, I mean, I think part of the strategy of lessening the sheltering-in-place order is going to be strengthening the social distancing and facial masking orders or guidances in public. So I think we are moving towards an order of facial coverings in public to strengthen social distancing. So facial coverings only work if you're also doing social distancing as well. So I do think that order for facial coverings is coming.
Do you believe that eventually we may be looking in Mendocino County a mandatory order for facial covering?
I believe so because we don't have other tools at this time. I wish I could say that I would use a vaccine or a treatment, but when we don't have those, we have to use old-fashioned public health techniques like for a respiratory infection, facial covering.
No, I appreciate it. Straight answers from Dr. Doohan. I appreciate that. And some real frustration, my words, not hers, about the vaccine and how far that is. Let's go to Dr. Pace. Dr. Pace, you heard from James who was in Costco today. Do you see mandatory face coverings coming to Lake County?
Well, I think the way I would answer that is the first step is we're strongly recommending that all the hospitals and the clinics and the healthcare facilities, all the workers in there with nursing homes all wear facial coverings when they're at work. And I think they're all basically putting that into place as, you know, right now. Then the next level is going to be the essential workers. So the people at the people that work at the grocery stores and at the gas stations and everything, they should probably all be wearing face masks, facial coverings as well. And then the third part is going to be the general public. You know, so I'm probably going to walk that forward step by step and see where it goes. I think it's really, the way I look at it is really part of the social contract. You're really protecting your neighbors. And if you go out there and you see people wearing the mask, sort of like James is saying, the more people that have it, the more protected you are. And they're taking care of their neighbors. Everybody's taking care of each other. I think it's possible we'll have to go to mandatory masking, especially like Dr. Doohan saying, once we start backing off from some of the other kind of shelter-in-place orders, we may need to strengthen the protection by masking, but I'm not looking at doing that right now.
Thank you so much, Doctor. This next question is going to be going to our two county administrators. We're going to start in Lake County with Carol Hutchinson, and then we're going to go to Carmel Angelo, County Administrator in Mendocino County. Madam County Administrators, we're going to ask you to try to keep your answers to 30 to 45 seconds. This is coming in from Monty. Property taxes are due April 10th. What are the counties doing to provide some tax relief by extending the due date? So I'll answer that first part. Right now, the legislature is the only body in the state that can extend the due date. Counties and cities and school districts have asked the legislature and the governor not to extend the due date, and there has been some compromise reach where counties looking on a case-by-case basis, based off of prudence, of if they should extend the use of penalties, not use penalties for late payments. But let's hear from the leader's mouth themselves. We'll start with the county administrator from Lake and then go to the county administrator from Mendocino County on the issue of property taxes and penalties. Madam County Administrator from Lake.
Thank you, Senator. Very important question and the subject of a lot of discussion here in Lake County. Yesterday, our treasurer tax collector came to the Board of Supervisors meeting and addressed this issue in public forum. Her office is actively receiving applications from people who are not able to pay timely due to the COVID-19 crisis. And if their circumstances warrant, she will most certainly consider waiving any penalties and interest that they might ordinarily accrue for a late payment. So we're evaluating on a case-by-case basis, but anxious to hear from people who need that consideration. So I would certainly encourage anyone in need of that to call our Treasurer Tax Collector's Office directly.
Thank you so much, Madam County Administrator. Let's go now to the County Administrator in Mendocino County, Carmel Angelo, property taxes and penalties.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Our board as well heard this item yesterday when our treasurer, tax collector, and our auditor came forward to discuss this with the board. As you have said, we don't have the ability to extend the due date, and Mendocino County will not do that. However, our treasurer as well will look at every case, every person on a case-by-case basis as far as the late penalties and any effort to either defer or waive those. And additionally, our treasurer will be back in front of the board to discuss this again. So I think we're all pretty much in that same place of recognizing the issues that people are having with paying more property taxes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Angelo. Ms. Hutchinson, we're very grateful. Our next question is going to go to Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer, there was a well-publicized story this week about a tiger in back east contracting coronavirus, and we've had, let's see here, I'm looking at Carrie Lindecker, who is on our team, about 13 questions tonight about pets and the coronavirus. Number one, here are the top two themes of questions. Can I get coronavirus by petting my cat or my dog if someone who is positive for the coronavirus has also petted them? Number two, can I get the coronavirus if my dog or cat licks me? Can you address those two issues?
Sure. So first, let me say that so there have been some studies looking at whether or not coronavirus COVID-19 can infect other animals. Cats appear to be susceptible, including tigers, as we learned, which got them from their human zookeeper, and dogs do not. So at least at the moment, it does not look like dogs can get COVID-19. Secondly, coronavirus is a respiratory virus, so it's spread by droplets. So the person would have to get respiratory droplets on the cat. That virus would then have to survive, get on your hand, and then when you touch your mouth or nose, it would get from your hand to your mucosal membranes and cause infection. So if you wash your hands after petting the cat or touching surfaces, that will protect you from getting coronavirus.
Thank you so much, Dr. Burrow. We're going to stay with you in talking about ventilators. This is coming in from Barry. Barry comes to us from Willits. Can those who are in the ICU really use one ventilator for two patients? Can doctors use one ventilator for two patients? There's been a lot of talk about the shortage of ventilators in ICU patients. Can you address that issue if truly two patients can truly survive off of one ventilator?
So that's not what the ventilators are designed to do, but it is potentially possible depending on the type of ventilator that you're using. The real challenge there, Barry, is you're looking at a lot of different settings on a ventilator to help a person breathe, particularly someone who's in such severe distress as we see in the intensive care units from COVID-19. So not only would you have to have the ventilator on two people, but they would need to be getting the same settings. So in general, it's going to be very difficult to use a single ventilator for multiple people.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer, we're now going to go on to Dr. Duhan. Dr. Duhan, this message is coming in from Rick in Ukiah. Rick says this, please explain why recreational opportunities like golf and hiking, where participants can maintain a social distance and be in small gatherings, have been closed. This is coming in from Rick in Ukiah. Dr. Duhan, the floor is yours.
Yes, so this is a very difficult thing about our sheltering in place orders is that they close parks not just only in Mendocino County, but I think you heard Dr. Pace speaking about Lake and certainly in Sonoma County. This is because initially when we put our sheltering in place orders, there were floods of people. I mean, I use the word flood. There were a lot of people coming up from the Bay Area to recreate in our community, and especially because we had low numbers of cases, we're extremely vulnerable to people coming from outside of county. So we started our sheltering-in-place orders in a very restrictive way, and I will be releasing new sheltering-in-place orders tomorrow, actually, certainly by Friday, that will have some loosening up of some of the areas that were more restrictive initially. But it is absolutely essential that people stay home as much as possible. That's what the governor's orders say. That's what we say across California. Stay home except for essential activities as much as possible, because that is how we're going to slow the spread. But again, there'll be new orders coming out in a couple days.
Thank you so much, Doctor. We're now going to turn it over to Lake County. We have less than 10 minutes left, so we want to make sure that we get your questions and your comments answered. Feel free to hit us up now, senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. We're looking for your questions or comments. We have the public health officers from Lake and Mendocino County. We have Dr. Brewer here from UCLA Medicine ready to answer your questions. senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. We're now going to go back to Lake County. Dr. Pace, this is coming in from Mel in Cobb. Can you please clarify what is considered an essential service? And I know that there are several essential services, but you can do it as succinctly as possible. Dr. Pace.
Well, I think, one thing is if you go on our website, there's a lot of information there on that. And the second piece of this is if you have specific questions that it doesn't make sense and you're wondering whether your situation qualifies or not, you can call in or write in on an email that we have on the website, and we have people on the lines every day, pretty much most of the business hours, that are answering those kind of questions all the time and helping people sort through that. But essentially, it's the things that are needed that are really necessary for life, food, medical. We are allowing construction because the homeless issue, because the fires and housing is such an issue that we want to keep moving forward with that, and a lot of fire mitigation. So any activities that will be preparing for fire relief is also part of it. But I think it's there's a fairly long list, and we've had to sort of modify it because we hadn't thought of everything and specific circumstances. And I just encourage you to go ahead and go on to the website and look through the frequently asked questions and look through the different lists. And if you have specific questions, to contact us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Doctor. We're going to stay in Lake County. We're now going to turn it over to the County Administrator, Carol Hutchinson. Ms. Hutchinson, we have a question coming in from REO. What are officials doing to directly help the financially impacted retailers, mom-and-pop shops, and furloughed or laid-off workers and individuals economically impacted by continued closures as a result of the crisis? Madam County Administrator, what I'll do very quickly before you go there, I'd like to talk about three quick items, one state, two federal. Number one, if you have been laid off and nearly 2.5 million Californians have received layoff notices, it's a staggering statistic. For the first time in modern history, if you're a sole proprietor, an independent contractor, or a gig worker, you can apply for unemployment. Here's how it works. You go to edb.ca.gov. You will be, your application will be submitted. It will take approximately 3 weeks from time when you submit to when you receive your first check. We're trying to get that 3 weeks locked down. You can receive a maximum of $450 per week from the state. And now the federal government is kicking in an additional $600 per week maximum. So here's how it works. State benefits for unemployment last 6 months. You would get a maximum of $450 per week. With the federal government, you would get an additional $600 per week maximum for the first 4 months. For small business owners, there's two types of loans that you can apply for. Number one, small business, sole proprietors, and even businesses with no employees who have been impacted by the coronavirus can now apply for low-interest loans capped at 3.5% directly from the Small Business Administration. And then the second most important, I believe, program that the feds have done, and I want to say thank you to Congressman Thompson for his work on this, employers from 1 to 500 employees can now apply with their business bank for the Paycheck Protection Program. This program will loan a business money for paying employee costs. So if you are a small business owner, you have 1 to 500 employees, which is the vast majority in Lake and Mendocino County, you pay your employees salary benefits, either furloughed or keeping them on payroll. You can then request from the federal government to turn that loan into a grant. We'd be happy to answer any questions, 916-651-4002 on the Paycheck Protection Program, that if you keep your employees on, keep them paid, that loan will turn into a grant. Madam County Administrator, I just wanted to get that in quickly. Two important programs, but I'll turn it over to you locally.
You bet. Thank you, Senator. Obviously, the well-being of local businesses is a tremendous concern to us here in Lake County. And this, without a doubt, local businesses have been among the hardest hit as we move through this disaster. And so first and foremost, tomorrow night, District 5 Supervisor Rob Brown and the Lake County Administrative Office are standing up a virtual town hall meeting for Lake County business owners. This meeting is going to be broadcast live on local PEG TV, which is Mediacom Channel 8. It will also be live streamed through Lake County's Facebook page. It's County of Lake on Facebook, and through the Board of Supervisors agenda software as well. We'll have a number of great panelists that are speaking specifically to the needs of local businesses and some of the resources that are available to them, so we encourage everyone to dial in. And in addition to that, Supervisor Brown has also put together a blue-collar committee that is working with local businesses and the Chamber of Commerce and others here in the community, focus specifically on the needs of businesses. Supervisor Brown encourages anyone who has concerns about local businesses to call him directly at 707-349-2628. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam County Administrator. We're going to go now back to Dr. Doohan. We have a few minutes left. Feel free to get us your questions and comments to senator.mcguire@senate.ca.gov. We're going to be hearing from the Board of Supervisors chairs in just a moment. We have now 827 folks that are with us Looking forward to hearing from Chair Simon from Lake County in just a bit, and Chair Haschak from the Board of Supervisors in Mendocino County. But before we get to the chairs, we'd like to be able to go back to our doctors. This is going to Dr. Doohan. This is a question coming in from Fort Bragg. What is the status of capacity at Coast Hospital in Fort Bragg? And what about surge capacity? Beds, masks, protective gear, and ventilators. Dr. Doohan, if you can comment on Coast Hospital.
I cannot specifically comment on Coast Hospital and their surge capacity, but I can tell you that they are prepared, that they have been surging up, and they've been participating, you know, with all three hospitals that are, you know, in Willits, Ukiah, and Fort Bragg are together coordinating their surge capacity. And I can tell you that I'm actually happy to see the number of ventilators that have been coming into our county and the surge that has been coordinated to our MOAC. So I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I know that overall it's reassuring.
Thank you so much, Doctor. We're now going to be going to Dr. Brewer from UCLA Medicine. Dr. Brewer, the president, this is coming in from Karen. Her question is, question in comment. The president has commented that Major League Baseball and basketball and football should be starting up this season. He wants to see it. Is that a smart thing to do?
I think we're still at a point where we don't want to have large social gatherings where people can come together who might be infected and not know it and spread it to others. So I'm delighted that Californians are continuing to stay at home and following the advice of their public health officials, their governor, and their local community leaders and staying at home.
Dr. Brewer, we're going to stick with you from UCLA Medicine. Dr. Brewer, can you name a country that has done this right?
Singapore and Taiwan. Taiwan is technically considered a region of China, have both done this right, and they've been doing the things that Dr. Pace and Dr. Doohan have been talking about. So they really built up their testing capacity. They aggressively identify people who are infected and isolate them, track down their contacts, and then isolate those who are infected as well. And so I think that the time that Dr. Doohan and Dr. Pace have talked about are really critical to allow them to build this very important capacity that they've been discussing that we need to get to.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. We're now going to go back to Dr. Pace. Dr. Pace, this message is coming in from Larry. We really need to know in which town the people who have the virus live. My husband and I have no choice but to take public transportation to get supplies. It would be helpful to know what areas we especially need to avoid, as my husband is a senior and has breathing problems. That's coming in from Larry. Dr. Pace, the floor is yours, sir.
Right. Well, I'm glad you get that question, because we just started getting cases this week, and so there's a lot of interest in trying to identify where people are at. And, you know, there's a couple different pieces of this. One is we are really interested in protecting the identity of people and not giving out any information that could help identify them because of, you know, this is a sensitive area and they don't, that really shouldn't be public knowledge. But the other part of it is if you're a senior, it would really be good to get some help and have somebody come and you stay home and have somebody come and do your shopping for you and deliver that. If you don't have the ability to do that, talk to the senior centers in your area, because a lot of them are really helping people to do this. So I think the point is that there's a few cases that we've identified. There's very likely others out there. I don't think you're safe. If you knew it was in one place and not in another, this case that we've identified, that doesn't mean you're safe out there. You need to take the same precautions. And the precautions really would be, if you're a senior and you're vulnerable, to get some help. And if you don't have friends or family that could do that for you, to reach out to one of the senior centers or something, because that's going to be the safest way to go forward with this.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pace. We have time for two more questions, and then we're going to turn it over to the Board of Supervisor Chair for closing comments. This is coming in from Manchester, Janice, and this is a question for Dr. Doohan in Mendocino County. If I was exposed to someone who was positive from the coronavirus, how long should I self-isolate? That's coming in from Janice. Dr. Doohan.
Oh, thank you. That's a very good question. So what we say is from the time of exposure, you should stay home for 14 days and monitor your symptoms daily, like take your temperature, monitor your own symptoms in terms of how you're breathing and how you feel well, that you feel well overall. If you develop any illness, we ask you to call ahead to your provider or to the hospital and let them know that you think you've had an exposure to COVID-19. So generally, people do well at home and they don't need to get medical care, but for 14 days, after exposure, we ask you to quarantine, and then if you get sick, then that becomes a different question, because then you need to seek medical care and call ahead, though, is what we always say.
Thank you so much, Dr. Doohan. The last question is going to go to Dr. Brewer. This is coming in from Rich. What are the expert answers and opinion as to when the vaccine for the virus will be available to all of us? Rich is asking that question. Dr. Brewer, you have the last question tonight. When will we see that vaccine widespread in society here in the United States?
I think a reasonable estimate would be 12 to 18 months. It's unlikely we would have a vaccine anytime before that, even though there are some initial vaccines already in clinical trials. 12 to 18 months would be a reasonable estimate.
Thank you so much, Doctor, which means that's why we're going to have to look at protective gear, limited large crowds, et cetera. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Senator.
All right. Look, we have a lot of questions that continue to come in tonight. We're going to spend time over the next few days to be able to answer as many of the email questions that have come in as possible. We've had a few questions about sales tax payments. I know Elizabeth emailed in. We have about a half dozen others about sales tax payments for small businesses and those sales tax payments being deferred and what that's going to mean for local government. And what I'll say to that is I had a call today with the executive director of the California League of Cities focused on how we can assist as a state backfilling of sales tax payments, which are now deferred. We believe about 25 to 30% of businesses who are eligible will defer their sales tax payments. Elizabeth, I'd be happy to follow up with you on more of this question in more detail here tomorrow. But before we adjourn tonight, we want to say thank you to the Board of Supervisors in both Lake and Mendocino counties. They have been standing tall when it comes to this virus, and I got to tell you, these Board of Supervisors have been tested with fire after fire each and every year. They're going to be providing our closing comments for both Lake and Mendocino County tonight. They have up to a minute and a half. We're going to start with Chair Simon from the Lake County Board of Supervisors to be able to provide a closing comment. Mr. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Senator McGuire. I want to thank everybody who joined the call tonight to get the information, up to date, or as up to date as possible. In Lake County, obviously, we know how tough this is and the struggle in the shelter and home. I want to thank each and every resident for doing everything that they can. The more that I see masks coming out during our businesses and the new grocery outlets or the grocery store that are open up and other things, I want to just thank everyone for doing their part. When we started this journey, we knew it would be a long one. Listening to the science and our public health officials across the country and here locally in our county and across the state, I think we're moving in the right direction. The economic impact of this, it will be seen down the road. It's been tremendous. But we're constantly focusing on life and safety first and then looking at how we can come out of this on the end as a business and a productive county and community together. You know, as always, when I ran for office, we talked about being one big family or one big tribe. And in this instance, we're doing a great job of being that, buying into the social distancing contract and working hard to protect not only ourselves but our family members and our business community here in Lake County. So I just want to thank Senator McGuire, all the panelists tonight, and everybody in Lake County and Mendocino County is doing what they need to do to protect our communities.
Mr. Chair, thank you so much, and I mean this. So grateful to be working with you and your board during these times, and we really appreciate you joining us and for your leadership. We are now going to be turning it over to Chair Haschak from the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. Mr. Chair, we're honored that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be able to join us. You have a minute and a half. Closing comments from the County of Mendocino and Chair Haschak. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Senator McGuire. On behalf of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors, I'd like to thank you for setting up this town hall and all the panelists. It's an opportunity for our communities to learn more and ask questions about this epidemic crisis and to see what we are doing locally and at the state level. We have people in both counties and at the state level working extremely hard to save lives. As residents of Mendocino and Lake Counties, we need to follow the public health officer's orders to keep not only ourselves healthy, but our communities healthy and safe. It is difficult, but our goal is to save lives. Following the medical expert's advice and orders is the role and responsibility that we all share. Again, thank you to our public health officer, Dr. Doohan, CEO Angelo, and Dr. Brewer from my alma mater, UCLA. There's the staffs and teams of Dr. Doohan, CEO Angelo, and much appreciation to you, Senator McGuire, for your stellar leadership during this crisis. Stay well, and as Dr. Brewer said, we are in this together.
Thank you so much, Mr. Haschak got in a Go Bruins. So we really appreciate that, Supervisor Haschak, and we're grateful that you were able to join us tonight and for your leadership, and please pass on our thanks to the entire Board of Supervisors. We want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to all of you who have joined us in Mendocino and Lake Counties. We peaked at just over 850 residents, hundreds of questions that came in, and we are so appreciative of your hard work and your sacrifice during these challenging times. Our goal tonight was to be able to connect you with those who are on the front lines combating this virus. Our hardworking public safety officers, our public health officers, Dr. Pace and Dr. Doohan, you're doing such a fabulous job, and we so appreciate your time. We want to say thank you to Dr. Brewer from UCLA Medicine, who is an infectious disease physician. He's working the hospital floor and has been joining us for our town hall. We are so appreciative of his hard work as well. Look, here's the bottom line. Our toughest days are still ahead. We know that the peak of this virus here in Lake and Mendocino counties at least 4 weeks away. We must continue to sacrifice. We must continue with that hard work and continue to shelter at home. Unfortunately, the best thing for public health is the worst thing for our local economy. But if we open up prematurely, we know that our challenges are going to be even greater. Our issue is this. We want to connect you with the most accurate and timely information. If you have any questions about the virus or any concerns, please call us anytime. Our phone number is 916-651-4002. 916-651-4002. I want to say thank you to our partners tonight, the County of Mendocino and the County of Lake. We're so appreciative. Stay healthy, you all. Stay at home and stay strong. Together, we're going to get through this. The town hall is now concluding. We look forward to talking with you next Wednesday evening at 6:30. A recording of this town hall will be broadcast on the County of Mendocino Facebook page and the County of Lake Facebook page within the next 48 hours. We look forward to talking with you soon, and we'll talk with you next Wednesday evening at 6:30. This town hall has now concluded.